hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. A lot of wild stuff going on in the news today, so we're going to have a couple good articles for you. How are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, I'm blessed. I mean, it's hotter than blue blazes here, but last night at least it rained. And when it rained, it cooled it off a lot. I mean, it went from like 90 degrees at 8 o'clock to the time we got out of the restaurant, ended up being like 73, so that was wonderful. And by the way, your brother last night, I want to mention this real quick, your brother graduated from the collegiate high school last night, valedictorian, and I was really proud of him, 18 years old. Now remember, this is the top 1% of all the kids in our Central Florida area go to this collegiate high school, which means they pass their college entrance exams early, and they're basically the top of the top of the whole Central Florida area. There was about 138 students in the graduating class, which represented the top 1% of Central Florida. And he graduated number one out of that. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is not say, look what my kid did, because I can't stand when people start bragging about their kids, which I just did, but I'm telling you why I'm doing this. The reason I did this is, number one, he has not had immunizations. We were able to get him into the school system, into the collegiate high school program with a vaccine exemption. He's had no immunizations, no mercury, no aluminum to dumb himself down. And Austin, you know as well as I do that you graduated with your bachelor's degree at 19 years of age, and you started college at 15 too. So, you know, it's something that can be done without immunizations. Plus, when you give the kids a head start by not dropping them 20 IQ points with a bunch of shots and mercury and aluminum in the brain, it really helps them to think and have, you know, good cognitive skills. Now, the content of his graduation speech was interesting because the college censored it. They would not allow him to do his own speech without getting it pre-approved by the college administration. So it went through multiple revisions as they made him change things and add things to it, but he did write the speech himself. In fact, it was something that he had asked me not to help him with, that he wanted to do on his own. And he told me that I would like the speech, that I would be surprised by it, that he was covering this topic. And I was so proud of him because you were there with me last night, Austin. And by the way, I want to post this whole thing on our website, however we can embed this, because I want everybody to see this. Or we can also put it on YouTube. I may have our IT guy put it on YouTube as Harrison's collegiate high school graduation speech, and we can link it back to that. But what he covered was he talked about how it was so important not to get student loans and how people were basically graduating from college with degrees they couldn't use, with basically a house mortgage with no house, and how they were basically being trapped into this constant debt cycle they were in with the mortgages, you know, paying this house they don't own with the student loans. They buffered him a little bit, and then he also talked about First Amendment rights, and that we live in the United States of America, and that we still have freedom of speech, which got a rounding applause. There were 2,000 people approximately in attendance last night. The entire gymnasium was filled for this commencement ceremony last night. So he got a rounding applause from Central Florida because of the fact that he talked about the First Amendment rights. And when they prayed last night, when they first started the invocation, they actually prayed in the name of Jesus, one of the students did. So it was really a good time last night, and I took everybody out to dinner. So we had a blast, and Harrison did a phenomenal job. We'll get that posted on YouTube, get you guys linked to it. In fact, one of our listeners and one of our customers from Health Masters was actually there last night for somebody else's graduation. And he stopped me and spoke to me and asked me if that was my son. I said, of course, Brower's a pretty rare name. And so he was very impressed with Harrison's speech also. I would have asked you guys to come to the graduation last night. I know a lot of you would have come to there as my family members of the show, but I didn't want to do that to you. It's a high school graduation, and it's kind of one of those deals that, you know, people go to these on a regular basis. They're kind of long and boring most of the time. I enjoyed it because it was my son. And I don't want any of you guys locally who are listening to feel obligated to do that. But I just want you guys to know the day after he did a great job, and that he really is a blessing to have as a child. And he's been the easiest out of the four children we've had to raise. So it's really kind of cool that he actually graduated magnum cum laude, what was his GPA, Austin?
4.633.
Yeah. I mean, you do all that. And that's because the college classes are weighted higher for the GPA in high school. And he had two kids that were the salutatorians, two girls, and he was there. And in fact, it was kind of funny because he came up and told them that he didn't even know a lot of the kids in the graduating class because he's so far advanced. You know, he'll have 108 hours completed after this summer, first summer semester, on a 120-hour bachelor's degree. That he said to the kids, he said, you don't know me because I've been taking these night classes, you know, and so I've only had like one class with my graduating class, And so I don't know a lot of you guys because I've been, you know, taking these other classes. Now, he was so humble, he didn't say, because, you know, I'm taking basically senior level classes right now. He didn't say any of that. I mean, senior levels in college classes. So he did a really good job. I was really proud of him. I thank God Almighty that I've got four such wonderful children, Austin. And so it was a lot of fun being there last night and going to dinner with everybody who was there with us. And it was just a blessing. And then you had some good news last night, but I'll let you say that news if you want to discuss that on the show today. And so all of these things are just, you know, God's a good God. We've got to remember that. We've got to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Austin, what's your first story?
Absolutely, man. And speaking of college, I mean, this ties right in what was going on. We talked about this a little last week up at Evergreen College up in Washington. The situation up there has gotten so out of hand from a race standpoint that what's happened now is the students that started this activist where they wanted to demand that all white students and professors leave the college for a day. Apparently, there's a video collage that basically has been leaked now by somebody who's recorded them in like five different instances, screaming, yelling, cussing, physically harassing professors, and posted it online. Now they're demanding the video be taken down off social media, which, as you guys know, once you put some on social media, it's up there now. The video depicts students, protesters screaming, shouting on campus in response to Professor Brett Weinstein's refusal to participate in a campus event in which all white community members were asked to leave the school for a day. They're claiming that the video has been stolen by white supremacists and they demand it be taken down by Friday. The video includes part of the section of using extremely profane language, including a segment in which students are hurling expletives at the college president, George Bridges. The first students, as far as the threatening the safety of a professor who disagreed with an event, was bad enough. Now there's videos of them basically cussing out the school president. School president has not contacted the police or issued expulsions whatsoever. In fact, he's rewarded this racist mob now with homework exemptions. You wouldn't believe this. In the one video, one of the school tells the president, it's the president of the college, to shut the F up and sit down. Then he gets in an argument, and the students, listen to these guys, this is how inept these students are. They're stating here, and I'm quoting this from the video, "All of us are students, and we have homework and projects and things due. Have you sent an email to the faculty letting them know this? What's been done about that? And noting that our peers are participating in these meetings on our own time." So they're having their meetings to protest white faculty members being on campus in their own time, and now they're demanding that they're let out of assignments and that they're not penalized for them being late. And the professor, the president's response, he goes, "It's the first thing I do. I have not done it yet. I will do it right now." The protester declares that the professors need to be told that their assignments won't be done on time, and we will not be penalized for that. Later on in the video, which appears to be taken after student protesters have submitted a list of demands to the school president, one student declares that if Bridges were to avoid responding to the demands on the deadline, he would subsequently need to pay for a potluck. I'm not sure if that was some type of veiled threat, but it sounds pretty bizarre. The correct answer to all these students who are committing crimes would be referring them to the authorities, calling local law enforcement, and also suspending them or expelling them if need be. However, good news is there's now been a proposal already submitted to privatize the school and remove all state fundings from Republican State Representative Matt Manuel. They also have a bill that they're introducing next week alongside to finalize this and try and privatize the state school so it will no longer get any funding. And they're issuing a letter calling for the investigation into a full civil rights violation for intimidation of an entire ethnic group to force them off campus. The fact that this has actually gotten so big blows my mind, because we talked about this a week and a half ago when it started. If we had a local college down here and we started saying, well, we're demanding that all Hispanics leave campus for a day, or all blacks leave campus for a day, or all Jews or all Muslims leave campus for a day, it literally would go viral all over over the country. I mean, it would be the first thing on CNN News that white supremacists are trying to take over a local college. That's what it would do. But yet, this is something that they're actually sitting here supporting and making it a big deal that the professor didn't want to leave campus and these students, I mean, in the video, I mean, these guys are belligerent. I mean, violent. I watched the video. I mean, I'm talking 40, 50, 60 of these guys ganged up circling around a professor. One of them is a female professor. She's standing at her door while they are screaming and yelling and cussing at her, saying every type of racist, derogatory comment I could possibly even think of and more that I couldn't even come up with, and just in her face screaming at her while she's standing there trying to leave. And the fact that the cops have not come in now and started arresting these guys for battery and assault and for verbal assault blows my mind, Dad, that they're still getting away with this and nobody wants to do anything about it. And the president's even capitulating to what these guys are demanding to.
Okay, I mean, gosh, this is one of those tiptoe around the tulips and try to be politically correct on this, so I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to blow it out like I always do and just be done with it, let it lay where it lays. This is all because of what Barack Obama did. Barack Obama did more to damage race relations in the United States than any president in the history of this country except for Abraham Lincoln. That's a pretty bold statement. That's an absolute fact. I mean, you know, the problem with all of this stuff is that when you allow people to be funded by George Soros like Black Lives Matter, and you start off with this type of mantra and you encourage it and you push it like with Trayvon Martin back here in Florida, all you do is create ethnic hatred and division. Let me explain something to you guys. You know, red lives matter, white lives matter, black lives matter, you know, oriental lives matter, Jewish lives matter, Muslim lives matter. Every life matters because they're souls. I mean, every single person is divinely created by God Almighty Himself. Every single person matters. You can't allow an ethnic group to come in and say, you know, white lives matter and start protesting and basically breaking things, or black lives or red lives or Hispanic lives or any lives. You can't do this. You know, you can't allow this to do this. And Barack Obama encouraged this type of behavior. Look, I respect God-fearing whites. I respect God-fearing blacks. I respect God-fearing Jews. I respect God-fearing Hispanics. I respect everybody who basically acts like a decent human being who is God-fearing. Even Muslims. I don't even have a problem with those guys as long as they're not trying to whack heads off and convert everybody. I don't have a problem with anybody. And here's the thing. Just leave us all be and let us live in peace. But don't encourage ethnic groups to do stuff like this. I'm like you, Austin. If this was a white supremacist group or a white group saying that they want equal rights doing this, that's all it'd have to be automatically labeled a white supremacist group. This thing would be blown up all over CBN, all over every major news channel. But because it's this Black Lives Matter group funded by George Soros, who I'm assuming that's who's doing this, trying to build these racial tensions. Last night at the college, there were a lot of wonderful people. They were Hispanics that were graduating, blacks that were graduating, whites that were graduating from the Collegiate Pride High School program. And I could feel that when there were police everywhere, I mean, fully armed sheriffs everywhere, and I thought to myself, this is the largest police presence I've ever seen at a high school graduation. I mean, when we graduated from high school, there were never police anywhere. And I thought to myself, I wonder what they know that we don't know. I wonder what type of ethnic problems they're thinking about may happen here, or maybe not ethnic, whatever type of problems. It doesn't make any difference. Guys, you can't allow the United States to slip down this slippery slope. This is not 1950 any longer. This isn't 1960 anymore. It doesn't say, you know, water fountain for our white patrons only, black water fountain around back. That's what I saw when I was a kid. That was absolutely horrific. That is not this. We just had an Arab black gay Kenyan in the White House. I mean, he covered every group that you could possibly get. He was gay. He was a foreigner. He was Arab. He was also black. He was also Muslim. I mean, I don't know what we could do as far as any more ethnic diversity than the last whack bag that was in the White House who wasn't even a true president because he could not qualify under the Constitution. I don't know what these guys want as far as wanting more rights. I don't get this. I mean, we talked earlier about how with affirmative action about how everything is skewed now in medical school admission programs now. I don't know what to say. All I can say is this. We've come a long, long ways since the 50s, the 60s, the 30s, the 40s of last century. And I'm not saying that we don't have further to go, but we've come and we've made monumental strides. And for Barack Obama to have intentionally fanned flames of racial hatred while he was in office nauseates me, because there's absolutely no reason he would have done that, except he's trying to create problems and conflict to bring in a martial law type of situation in which he can then send federal troops in, or somebody can send federal troops in to get things cranked up. What do you think about this, Austin? I want you to comment on what I just said, and I'll start on my next story.
Well, I think you're very accurate with a lot of it, because, I mean, before he was basically elected, this was not something you saw on a regular basis. I mean, we've seen, you know, the issues with Ferguson. We've seen the issues when we had Trayvon Martin. I'm getting a ton of feedback, bud.
Okay, I'll work on getting my headset. Hang on, go ahead.
There we go. But we saw all these issues, and they've always sparked. And the thing that I was always so shocked about, every time this stuff happened, there were never any consequences for anything. There were very few people that were ever arrested. Most of law enforcement was always ordered to stand down or not engage or not arrest or not prosecute anybody. That stuff always happens on a regular basis when we saw these situations arise. Now we have these students at this college, which this college has about 4,400 students. So it's a small local college, but there's still, almost 5,000 students there. And they're sitting there demanding that all whites leave the campus for a week. It doesn't really offend me, because I don't get offended easy, because I could really care less what they have to say, because I'm not going to listen to their rhetoric. But the fact that they're actually even thinking that that is a viable thing to do, that you can actually go around and demand that, and then when you don't get your way, you start screaming, cussing, and physically threatening and intimidating faculty members to try to basically prove your point, it's really quite bizarre to me. I think that's the biggest thing. It's bizarre. It's flat out bizarre to me. But then again, we see all across the country, there's another college now up, Hunter College in New York City. They're beginning in fall 2017. This year, they will be requiring a course that is called Abolition of Whiteness. They're going to make it mandatory for political science majors. The course is cross-listed. It's going to be teaching by Professor Jennifer Gabry in the political science department and fulfill one of four classes in the four subfields of political science. The school's official catalog doesn't say much about the course actually discusses. However, a previous version of the course from the fall 16 semester says it's an overview of whiteness studies in the United States, focusing specifically on concepts of consciousness, visibility, disavowal, and resentment. So in other words, the students taking this class are taught that not only are whites the epitome of all that are bad in America, they should feel badly about creating the resentment for all they've allegedly done and must disavow their race. This is just bizarre stuff, but this is exactly what Dad just said. Back in 2008, 2009, you can specifically see when a lot of this stuff sparked and became okay. And this is not okay. This is not something. We're all created equal. We're all equal in God's eyes. Nobody is above anybody. And for this reverse racism to be getting as aggressive as it is now really is quite bizarre to me to see this happening, Dad. But as you just said, this is exactly what the plan was when they got this guy in 2008, this Manchurian candidate basically is what he was, to keep him constantly keeping the racial divide even further and further and further every year that he was in office. And it's quite sad that he was as effective as he was at it.
Well, immolation is the sacrifice of oneself. The crazy thing here with the whites, and I'm speaking to the white people that are listening now. I'm fussing right now. All right, I'm going to fuss. This self-loathing of being white, it doesn't make any sense. What are you going to do? Get a crayon out and change your color? I mean, this is stupid. I mean, you know, I'm not joking. This has already started in Germany because of World War II. And the globalists don't want white people. They hate white people. They really hate white people. And they want a mestizo race. They want everybody to be interbred so we have no national unity or national identity. And I got that, okay? I got that. The problem is a lot of white people go along with this crap. And they just basically start hating themselves and hating their own race. And nobody else does that. The blacks don't do that. The blacks don't hate each other. The blacks don't hate the race. Hispanics don't hate the race. You know, the Japanese don't hate the race. The Russians don't hate the race. But whites, they're like self-loathing. I mean, they hate the race. And the reason this has happened is because of all of this politically correct crap that has been fed down the children of white people that we've had to basically endure and put up with. Newsflash. There are more slaves globally right now than there were during the Civil War in the United States, all over the Arab countries and all over the African countries right now. Right now. We talked about the sex slave trade out of Thailand yesterday on the show. You know, we don't have slavery legal in the United States anymore. I mean, you know, and if your parents were, or your great-great-great-grandparents were slaves, I'm sorry that happened, but I wasn't here. You know, my parents were in Germany. I mean, we were dealing with all that mess going on in the mid-1800s over there. I mean, I don't know what to say to try to make something right that I had nothing to do with. And that's why so many of the German people now have said, look, we are not our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and we didn't kill a bunch of Jews and Christians and everybody else in concentration camps we'd get our hands on or experiment on them. We didn't do any of that. And so why in the world are we being blamed for what our great-great-grandparents did when we had nothing to do with any of this? And why in the world is this continually being brought up to us inside our homes and our TV sets? And see, and this is the problem that we have. We've been programmed through the TVs, through the media, through flicker rates, to believe these lies that we're responsible for what our great-great-grandparents did. I told you the story once of my old workout friend who was basically a black man, good man's preacher. I love the guy. He's a great guy. And he basically told me one day that, you know, we needed to pay slave reparations to the black people. And my response then was, well, why would I pay slave reparations? My parents came from Germany. I said, you know, I don't get that. And he goes, well, you have the benefit of living in the United States. And my response to him was, so do you. So do you. I mean, who in the world would want to live in sub-Saharan Africa? I mean, nobody in our country right now is being put into slavery. We're not selling slaves and block and tackle chains, you know, on the slave steps. We're not doing any of that. And now they're trying to completely whitewash American history and basically the Civil War and take down the statues of all the Civil War heroes. And it had nothing to do with slavery, or maybe a small portion of the Civil War. It was about states' rights. But nobody wants to look at the actual history of all of this. Anyhow. All right. How's my feedback? Am I okay now, Austin?
Yeah, you sound good now, bud.
All right. I got another story, which is a sad story. A teen kills himself after school cop lies to him about having to register as a sex offender. 16-year-old junior at Naperville North High School. He basically had sex for the first time, and he basically recorded it upon a cell phone as far as the audio. And it was consensual sex with another girl who was 16 years old. And basically he was busted by the school administrator and called into the office. And then a cop named Brett Hune proceeded to interrogate Corey. And Hune told Corey that being in possession of the video or the audio of sexual nature involving minors considered under the law child pornography, and that he might have to be registered as a sex offender. Well, this 16-year-old, basically honor student athlete, got so stressed out by this, he went and killed himself and jumped off a building. And of course, they had no intentions on doing any of this. They were trying to scare him, and he committed suicide. He jumped off a 5-story building and killed himself. Now, the reason I'm saying this to you, because I normally wouldn't cover a story like this, is that we're talking about high school and college and kids now. And I want everybody to realize how incredibly, how should I say this, fragile the psyche is of a 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid. Now, I'm not saying that we should allow them to be enabled to do things they shouldn't do, but certainly having sex with your girlfriend at the age of 16 isn't considered some type of deviant behavior, though it may not be the Christian way of doing things. It's not some weirdo, wacko thing that he did.
And for this cop to come in and basically threaten him with being registered as a sex offender and humiliating him in front of the entire student body, which is what that would have done, including his parents, the community, and everything else, to the point that the kid became so despondent he committed suicide, isn't okay. The police need to realize that they need to be careful with these kids. They need to be careful with everybody and not just throw their badge around and throw their weight around and start making all of these wild accusations. We have a good friend of ours here who's a police officer, and I know he would never do this. And he told me, personally, he told me that they're allowed to lie as much as they want to a suspect to get a confession from the suspect, to basically scare the suspect and say things to them, and that they consider that to be okay. Well, guys, it's not okay. He had sex with his girlfriend, another 16-year-old. I mean, this has been going on since, like, you know, Adam and Eve, way back when. This is not something that's a deviant behavior. And for this cop to have done this and threatened him with this is really sad to me. And I think we need to pray for the parents of this young man, because, guys, think about this. This man, this young boy, had a father. He had a mother. He probably had grandparents, may have had sisters and siblings and uncles and aunts. And all of these people now have been completely and totally devastated over some reckless comment by this police officer. Now, I'm going to say one other thing. Being a former college professor for 2 years, it's also very, very important, if you're an educator, that you build kids up. Don't tear into children. I mean, gosh, if you got to say something to them and they've been the pits, take them aside, you know, and just let them talk to them. And if the worst comes to worst, you have to say something to them publicly if they're simply not going to change, or send them to the office and have them taken out of your classroom. But when you start tearing into these young psyches at a very, very young age, guys, it can do irreparable damage to these kids, including to the point of suicide with this young boy. So, guys, think about how you're acting and how you're affecting these kids. It's really, really important. Austin, what do you want to say or anything about this?
No, you are right about that. And the issue that we've seen now over the last, especially here locally, Polk County's gotten really out of hand with it, is the, and I want to say this correctly, because a lot of time, because I'm not, you know, the sexual predator and child molestation, all that stuff is not a joke. That's, you guys know our stance on that. That's obviously not something that's acceptable at all. But what we have seen now is the prison industrial complex has used that aspect of it to twist and manipulate and to skew everything, and using it to make more money and more revenue, essentially, is all what it comes down to, and making a lot of these kids sexual offenders the rest of their lives. I've never really brought this up before. It's kind of a weird subject to bring up. But, you know, I have a personal friend of mine that, you know, I've known for a while, and he was 19, ended up having sex with a girl that was a teenager. It was, you know, consensual. And basically, he stopped talking to her, and she told her parents, you know, he raped me. Well, in Polk County, pretty much what any girl says, if she's a minor, is taking it the full force, and anything somebody says to refute that basically has to have full evidence to try and back it. And they end up convicting this guy, and he ended up doing 3 years in a state penitentiary, and then has been on house arrest now for the last 2 years, still has to wear an ankle bracelet. And it's sad when you see this happening, and he's a registered sex offender for the rest of his life, meaning everywhere he goes he has to register if he moves to any place, any house, anything. It's online, you can pull them right up. And this happens a lot more than you guys know, because what a lot of these girls do is they get mad, their boyfriend breaks up with them, or he doesn't call them back, this or that. I'm not condoning premarital sex at all. I'm not saying that to condone this. But what I'm saying is, as Dad said, it does happen. And turning around and letting these teenagers that have not reached anywhere near concrete rational thought to start making decisions, or allow people around them to start making decisions like this in the legal system, that literally can ruin and affect the rest of your life as you know it, is a big thing. And the prison industrial complex has completely capitalized on this, and they've found a way to make more money. I mean, while this guy that I know, while he's still on house arrest, he has to go for monthly meetups for his psych evaluations, bi-monthly polygraph test, and meet with his parole officer once a week just for a regular meetup. Costs him $650 a month fee he has to pay every single month to do all these things. And that's not including his time or gas or anything. These are all ways that they're keeping everybody locked in the system. And again, I'm not condoning people that are going around raping anybody or going out and being pedophiles. That's some really, really sadistic behavior. But when you start dealing with consensual sex, when it's a year, 2 years apart, and you start having people that are claiming rape, or you have police officers like this that start threatening the kid with, you know, child porn charges, he's going to be a sex offender. It's really something people need to look at in our society and not allow this to be okay, as far as, especially when people commit these crimes and atrocities, but also to not ruin kids' lives that are 17, 18, 19 years old for the rest of their life because of one minor mistake they made that in reality is not that big of a deal when it comes to a long-term aspect. So it's just a weird topic, but I want to kind of bring that up out there, Dad, because we don't ever talk about this very much because it's just kind of a weird topic.
And kids, if you're listening to me right now, I know I got a lot of children listening to the show, it's best not to have premarital sex. It's best to get married, have sex with your spouse, and be the only person you ever had sex with. I want you to understand that's how I feel about all of this stuff. But, you know, people do things that always aren't the best for them. And so just be really, really careful. Know the laws in your state. Know who you're getting involved with. And make sure you're not going to be accused of something that you didn't do. And, guys, I mean, I've seen it so many times. These kids' lives are ruined and they have to register as a sex offender. And it's just awful, guys. I mean, and then went to prison over this and everything else because some dad gets mad because his daughter was 2 months from turning the right age and he basically prosecutes the kid. I mean, I've seen it over and over and over again. So guys, be really, really careful and understand that a lot of times, you know, when you decide to engage in activity like this with a young girl, even if she's legal to do this, that she has very frayed emotions at that point. And if she doesn't feel that you love her or want to stay with her, she may just say you raped her. And so be really, really, really careful to avoid situations that can get you in that kind of mess, guys. What's your next story, Austin? We've got to change topic.
Yeah, we do. It was a health topic right here. This is another article that came up on Health 365, and I want to touch base on it because we talk about it a lot. But again, it goes to show you on the dangerous effects of cortisol and how a lot of people do not respect what this hormone does in the body, and they continue to use compounds that massively spike cortisol, and they wonder why they can't sleep, they're storing a lot of body fat, they're stressed out, they can't hold muscle tissue, they can't do good in the gym. Cortisol is a huge factor in all that. In stress response, you guys know, and this may be a little redundant for some of you guys, but I'm going to repeat this because a lot of new listeners we pick up every week, and you guys need to hear this because this is a very, very, very important factor in long-term health. The body prepares to meet a sudden crisis and a stress response by releasing a burst of cortisol and other adrenal hormones. The fight-or-flight physical reaction is helpful when it comes to surviving an emergency, but when the stress is chronic and unrelenting, the response itself can become a threat to your health. The devastating effects of chronically heightened cortisol include a higher risk of disease and, in turn, a shorter life. Cortisol is a stress hormone. That's why it's not surprising that exposure to excess cortisol mirrors the physical and mental effects of chronic steroid over medication. Unhealthy levels of cortisol actually speed up the aging process, and research indicates that chronically elevated cortisol levels are accompanied by a higher mortality risk. In one study, women with high cortisol levels were found to be 82% more likely to die early than those with normal levels. For men, the heightened risk was 63%. High cortisol levels, which are particularly stressful for the heart, increase the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease by fivefold, even among people with no previous risk factors for heart disease. This is why I talk so much, guys, about heavy, heavy usage of caffeine. If you have to use caffeine as a tool for a presentation or an exam or something you need to use it for, or an event or a competition, that's great. It's awesome. Works good for that. Using this stuff on a daily basis, day in, day out, in high quantities is not good for the body. It raises cortisol and it massively stresses the heart. High amounts of caffeine raise cortisol. So there's no question about it as far as the high amounts of caffeine can cause heart problems. I was talking to Dad about this the other day, about the kid two weeks ago that drank, you know, the espresso, I think, and like a giant Red Bull, and then had like two sodas and ended up dying from a massive heart attack, 16 years old. And the thing about it is, in my opinion, from the research that I've done, a lot more people are admitted to the hospital and have significant heart problems from the use of caffeine that will ever be admitted as far as in paper, or that will ever be done in studies, because caffeine is such a widely used compound and it is not controlled in any sense of the way. So most people, it's nothing for them to drink 1, 2, 3 energy drinks plus a cup of coffee plus another Red Bull or whatever throughout the day, and then all of a sudden they start having a massive heart attack. That's not abnormal. They don't even going to tell the doctor that, because they do it every single day. It's nothing out of the ordinary. But nobody starts to think about the massive increase of cortisol, the dehydration that comes from the caffeine, the blood viscosity becomes thicker, and the elevated adrenaline that's constantly released from the caffeine that stimulates the heart to pump even harder. And damage doesn't just stop with heart disease from cortisol. It can also increase the risk of diabetes, metabolic syndrome, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, depression, and Alzheimer's, they have found now. The risk of obesity also soars with cortisol, responsible for producing stress-related food cravings and excessive abdominal fat, all while decreasing muscle and bone mass. In extreme cases, high cortisol levels can also lead to excessive fat and fluid accumulation in the face. High cortisol has even been associated with loss of cognitive function, as research has linked excess amounts of cortisol to shrinking of the hippocampus, the center of memory in the brain. Now, there's a lot of different ways naturally you can lower cortisol as far as trying to maintain an overall healthy lifestyle. Pray. Give a lot of stuff to God. Keeping stuff on your shoulders and trying to carry it, especially if there's nothing that you can do about it, guys, I've learned this from previous experiences, it does nothing beneficial, nothing healthy for you at all. If there's something that you're trying to achieve, there's something that you're dealing with in your life, give it to God. Pray about it. Pray about it every night. Keep giving it to God until it's off your shoulders, because that's what He is there for, so we don't have to carry those burdens. Secondly, eat clean. Try to do the best you can to stay away from the high inflammatory compounds like gluten, alcohol, high sugary foods like potatoes, pasta, sugar in general. All those increase inflammation, which in turn, when you start having higher levels of cortisol from stress, cortisol, inflammation, incredibly effective way to cause your body to age very rapidly. And also, too, stay off the caffeine as much as possible, and stay off the coffee and the sports drinks. Those are just something you really don't need. Like I said, if you have something that you're doing, like a research study that you have to stay up late for occasionally, you're in college, you have a presentation at work or at school, that's a completely different story. We formulated the one formula, Cortisol Buster, specifically for this, because we saw such demand for something to help lower cortisol last year. We worked on it for a while, and we have all types of different compounds and in high dosages, from the Relora to the Sensor Ashwagandha, the L-theanine, Bonampa leaf extract, Marl extract, and they're all in clinical dosages. This has been one of the actual best-selling products we've ever had since we've released it, because people see such good results from it. You can eat clean, you can exercise, you can drink lots of water, you can stay off the caffeine, you can even give it to God, but sometimes cortisol still needs to be brought down from a natural approach, and that's what we brought the Cortisol Buster in, and that's why it sells so good, Dad, because everybody likes it, because it really helps to bring you in a more of a calm, relaxed state, and it's not something like melatonin where you get like groggy or tired or want to sleep, but you can just feel the cortisol and the stress hormone really start to lower on the body, and it does not age you nearly as fast when you start taking supplements like this and living a healthier lifestyle. You'll notice it in your face, you'll notice it in your skin, you'll notice it in your energy, you'll notice it in your sleep. And they all go hand in hand, and it really helps to live a better, overall healthier life, Dad. So, yeah, I saw that article on that today on cortisol, and I really wanted to touch base on it, because I get a lot of emails on that every week.
Well, no, it's a phenomenal product. We released it for the first time on Hagman, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, and it's turned into one of our best-selling products. By the way, Brzezinski, the former national security advisor under President Carter, has died. He was a well-known theorist behind putting the global government in place and was a major influence on U.S. foreign policy. It was his idea to create Al-Qaeda as a force to weaken the Soviet influence in the Middle East, a force that has eventually become known as ISIS. This was taken from Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard. The plan was to train and fund violent elements within Islam so they will threaten the world with terrorism and conquest, then using the resulting chaos as an excuse to take control of countries while appearing to be saving them from Islam. I mean, this is a crazy guy. He was also really, really involved in population control. May he not rest in peace. That's all I can say. I've got no respect for this guy at all. He's awful. And he was the architect of Al-Qaeda, that spawned ISIS, and he has died. And to me, it's good riddance. And I could just say, ding dong, another warlock is gone as far as I'm concerned. And you say, well, gosh, that's really harsh, Ted. Hey, when Kissinger goes, I'm going to say the same thing. And when Hillary Clinton goes, I'm going to say the same thing too about him, about her. I mean, yeah, that's just, and you say, well, that's not very Christian. You're right. It's not. I never said I was perfect. I just said that I'm saved. I mean, I don't like these guys. You know, God may love everybody. I don't. You know, I don't, you know, and I don't like these guys at all. I mean, I can say one thing, God doesn't like everybody either. I mean, I don't like pedophiles. I don't love pedophiles. I mean, I'm not God. I'm not as the least as the East is from the West. That's why we've got to rely on our God to support and take care of us. Let me tell you, I had a dream two nights ago, and I don't normally do dreams. It was a good dream. And I didn't tell you about this, Austin, so I can get through it here if I can. And I woke up remembering the dream vividly, which I don't normally do, but I was going to some meeting. It was at a university, and it was a group of kids that were being dragged into a Satan coven. And this is a dream. Now, this didn't happen. This is a dream. This is something that I dreamed in the middle of the night. And I thought to myself, wow, this is crazy. But I wanted to see what they were telling these kids. So I went to this meeting. They started off with this nonsense. And I remember I looked at the people who were talking and I said, you guys are all nuts. I said, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And they looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about Yahweh. And when I said that in the dream, the entire building that we are in, the entire earth shook at his name, which is what the Bible says when he speaks, the entire earth shakes. And I looked at all the kids and I said, guys, I said, let me explain something to you. I said, these guys are giving you false testimony. They're giving you false doctrine. These guys are in the child sacrifice drinking of human blood. If their God was the good God, why in the world would he require the sacrifice of children and infants? And they all looked at me. I said, it's time. And by the way, the building is still shaking because we're still talking about Yahweh here in this dream. And they're all getting scared now because the building's shaking. And I said, this is the power of my God. And I said, it's time to get up and get out of this mess. And like everybody got up and walked out with me. And now here's why I shared that dream with you. I'm not saying it's some kind of prophetic message. I'm not saying any of that. But here's what I'm saying that it is. God wants us to be about his work. He wants us to be about his getting things done. He wants to call in the name of Yahweh and Yeshua. And people say, well, why are you calling him by his Hebrew name? Hey, here's why I use the word Yahweh. Yahweh is God's name. There are many, quote, little gods on this planet. You know, your car can be a little god. You got Baal, you got Moloch. They all consider themselves to be these fake gods in the Old Testament. They all have their own name. But when you say Yahweh, everybody knows you're talking who you're talking about. This is the creator of the universe. The same thing with Yeshua. I mean, a lot of Hispanics use the name Jesus, you know, but they don't use the name Yeshua. I mean, when I say Yeshua, everybody knows what Jesus I'm talking about. So guys, here's the thing. Always remember, there's power in the name of Christ. There's power in the name of Yeshua. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Yahweh. And I really like that dream, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it yesterday, but we had so much other stuff that we were talking about, I didn't get a chance to bring that up. But I wanted to bring that to your memory to make you realize, guys, that we have that authority when we call on the name of God, of Yeshua, of Yahweh. When we do that, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess in the end that Jesus Christ is Lord. And guys, we have to remember that because we have to know who we are, what kind of creation we are in Christ Jesus. And when we're born again, how the righteousness of God through Christ permeates us and changes our very being, because that's who we are, because we literally become the sons of God. So guys, please remember that, because guys, it's so important that we know in these last days the authority and the power that we've been given, guys. So anyhow, what's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is pretty wild because this is just continuing to make it very clear to us what's going on in Europe and Sweden and all this stuff with the Muslim invasion. Where I told you guys a couple months ago, they actually were trying to test some of the guys coming in that were children, and they were finding that they were all grown men. Well, now a new study by the Swedish National Board of Medicine has found 3 out of 4 of the so-called child refugees are actually adults in Sweden. Another illustration of how European people are being massively deceived about the true nature of the migrant crisis. The organization was given orders from the Swedish Migration Board to conduct medical assessments on the last batch of asylum seekers who claimed to be under the age of 18 that came into the country. Of these that came in now, 4% were female. 4%, guys. 4% were female, illustrating again how clear the majority of migrants entering Europe are men. Having carried out full x-ray examinations of wisdom teeth and magnetic camera surveys of the knee joints on the 581 individuals in the study, the research found that 442 were over the age of 18, with just 134 being under the age of 18. In other words, around 3 in 4 of the asylum seekers who are claiming to be children are in fact adults. These results are very important because a controversy over European countries accepting so-called child refugees who are clearly not children. One of the famous cases last year was Saad Azul, an Iraq refugee who claimed to be 14 years old. Pictures of him circulated competing in a running event, clearly showing he was a full-grown adult. I remember seeing that. Another one, a Somalian migrant named Yusuf Khalifif Nuvir, claimed to be a 15-year-old despite being over 6 feet tall and having to shave a full beard daily. It's almost a joke because these guys over there in the Middle East have pretty much found out now, hey, if you tell them at the border you're a kid, they'll let you in, they'll give you free food, free housing, let you do anything you want, let you rape whoever you want, and essentially get away with anything you want because you're a refugee, unaccompanied minor, and you don't know any better. And these guys have bought it up. I mean, they've literally just taken this to heart, and they're completely and totally, I mean, just manipulating the situation that's going on over there. Guys, if they got 5, 6, 7-year-olds that are trying to get into the country and they need help, if they're completely abandoned, I got that. I mean, I completely agree with that. I don't have a bit of problem with that, but that's not what's going on over here, guys. 3 out of 4 of these guys that are coming in here are over the age of 18, and they're stating that they're children. They know how old they are in most cases. They're using to manipulate the system, and all these guys in power, the globalists that are pulling the strings over there in Europe, are intentionally doing this to destabilize the entire European culture and country over there. Now we saw yesterday, as I brought up, that the congressional budget approval that we saw this month did not have any provisions whatsoever on restricting any amount of refugees that were allowed into the country. I mean, that right there was just, should give everybody a clear-cut idea of exactly what's going on. The quota that we saw last year in the temporary spending measure last fall was what put the constraints on allowing the 80,000 a year cap of migrants coming in. When Congress passed a spending bill this month that funded the government for the rest of the fiscal year, the law did not include any restrictions on refugee admissions. Now we know why. When Trump tried to ban these guys for 120 days or 90 days from these terrorist countries over in Europe, why he immediately had injunctions filed, immediately had lawsuits filed, and immediately had these circuit court globalist stooge judges rule in favor of the states and completely block the executive orders that he signed. Now we know why, because they had already planned from the beginning to get this in there so there would be no restrictions on migrant invasions into this country for the rest of the fiscal year. It's very clear what they have planned for us for the rest of the year now, Dan.
Wow. Anthropologist says white genocide is a good plan. According to anthropologist Michael P. O'Regan, white genocide is a good plan because it will entrench leftist power by preventing right-wingers from having babies. Oman Reagan is a Vanier scholar and a PhD candidate in the Department of Anthropology at the Memorial University of Newfoundland. Instead of politics, the liberal media elite should orchestrate deep social ad campaigns against, convince people to never reproduce who are white. He added before an emotion of a, he added before an of a frog to symbolize the alternative right. Oman Reagan said preventing alt-right frog milk boys from reproducing was a good thing because they won't be able to teach any children to be full of hate or terrible attempts at owning people online. I don't even, this guy's like smoking crack or something. They can leave the politics to the leftists who will ensure everyone has health care, free education, right to food, housing, free everything, remarked Oman, before later tweeting that America was a racist nation with a constitution that primarily benefited white supremacists. By the way, this guy sucks. And I just did, again, forgive me for that language, but here's the thing, guys. I don't even know what to say. Okay, I'm going to say, but I'm going to say something anyhow. I don't want to say, but I'm going to say this. I don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic, Muslim. Singling out a single organization or white, a group like white people and saying they shouldn't even be allowed to reproduce because they're a bunch of white supremacists is stupid. Because here's the deal. Number one, it doesn't make any difference. If we bring all of these Muslims and these uneducated people into the United States that don't add any value to our economy, who are a complete and total drain on the political and system of the United States, who want to do jihad, who want to destroy the country from within and turn it into one of their Muslim hellholes, if we bring these guys in to do all of this, the Hispanics are going to be affected. The blacks are going to be affected. What's left of the whites are going to be affected. Everybody loses in this deal. This is a big lose, lose, lose for everybody. There's nothing positive about any of that. But see, these guys who say these stupid things, who say stuff like this guy did, this guy is the racist. He's the racist. He's the guy who basically shouldn't be allowed to reproduce. Because the reality is he's just breeding little racists. A person can be racist towards white people as well as any other race. It doesn't make any difference. It's just you're not liking one particular ethnic group because they're white. Yeah, what are we living in the 1800s? What kind of nonsense is that? I mean, that's completely unbelievably stupid. Austin, what do you think about that?
It is pretty ridiculous, to be honest with you. The whole ideology behind a lot of this stuff that these guys promoting, from a logical standpoint, it really doesn't make any sense. It's like five-year-old logic. It's just, it doesn't make any sense at all. The sad part is a lot of people are buying into it and going with it and being like, oh yeah, this needs to change, that needs to change. You need to renounce yourself of being white and you need to basically shame yourself for doing that. The whole thing's just silly to me. It really has gotten out of hand. The sad part is, as I just said, a lot of people are taking it seriously, which is not good at all. Assad over in Syria's president just had another meeting again and basically called out the deep state in the United States for really explaining. He explained how America really works. This is really wild. I'll give you a quick little synopsis on it real quick. This is him. This is what he stated. I'm quoting this. He says, the American president has no policies. I guess he's referring to Trump. He said, these policies are drawn by the American institutions which control the American regime, which are the intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, the big arms companies, the oil companies, and the financial institutions, addition to some small lobbies who influence America's decision-making. The American president merely implements these policies.
That's right.
As we have seen in the past few weeks, he changed his rhetoric completely and subjected himself to the terms of the deep American state or the deep American regime. That is why it is unrealistic and a complete waste of time to make an assessment of the American foreign policy. For he might say something, but he does what the institutions dictate him to do. This is not new. This has been ongoing American policy for decades. Yes, from a Western perspective, you are now sitting with the devil. This is how they market it to the West. But this is always the case when a state, a government, or an individual does not subjugate themselves to their interests and do not work for the interest, and they work against the interest of them. These have been the Western colonial demands throughout history. That is the contradictory Western narrative, and that is why we shouldn't waste our time on Western narratives, because they were all full of lies. You and I remember well what happened in 2003 when Colin Powell showed the world in the United Nations what he claimed to be the evidence which proved that President Saddam Hussein possessed chemical, nuclear, and other weapons. However, when the American force invaded Iraq, it was proven that all he said was a lie. Powell himself even admitted that the American intelligence agencies deceived him with that false evidence. This was not the first, nor will it be the last time. This means if you want to be a politician in the United States, you have to be a genuine liar. This is what characterizes the American politicians. That's why we shouldn't believe what the Pentagon or any other American institution says, because they say things which serve their policies, not things which reflect reality and the facts on the ground. Now, everybody's got different opinions about Assad over in Syria. I don't personally know him, never met him, probably will never meet him, but I wanted to say that today and bring this up simply because you guys see the other side of the coin over in another country from another president that has been bombed and invaded by our country on numerous occasions, actually. And just so you guys have an understand what he really thinks about it. Is he a good guy? I have no idea. Do I support him? I don't really support a lot of guys over there simply because I don't know their true motives. But what he just said called out the deep state better than almost any other president of any other country I've heard, with the exception of Vladimir Putin, who, of course, also we dictate. We say he's a traitor, he's a dictator, he's a killer. We need to invade Russia, too, or we need to stop Russia because they're agitators. If you guys notice, every single time a country doesn't do the bidding of the globalist regime pushing for a new world order, they're always labeled as this horrible president that needs to be overthrown and assassinated. It happens every time, Deb.
No, you're right. In fact, I saw that Assad article yesterday, and I want to cover it. Because again, we ran out of time. Guys, I want to thank you for the show, for listening to the show. I mean, if it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't have a show. I'm finding out that we got people listening everywhere. I keep having people call me up, and they say, oh, yeah, we listen to your show every day. And I had a friend call me up today. There's a chiropractor in Haines City who listens to the show every day. And I'm like, his name is Dr. Jeffrey Smith, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is crazy. We got all of these people listening all over the place. And back to, well, by the way, I saw Jeffrey Smith years ago. Excellent chiropractor. Does a good job. So, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for just being part of our family, for heaven's sakes. Thanks for listening to us. God bless you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate you guys so much. I really, really do. Austin, I'm going to go ahead and write the summary. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Sounds good, bud. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything on here. All the emails, thank you for everything. Also, too, the product of the week, the chelation therapy, is what won. I was telling you guys that yesterday. Ended up winning by a landslide. Great product. Helps remove heavy metals and calcium buildup in the arteries. Definitely something you want to take if you're trying to clean out the arteries, if you're trying to work as far as decreasing heavy metal toxicity. A lot of people take this that have had exposure to vaccines before they knew a lot of stuff about vaccines. Then they try and make sure that this cleans them out. So great product for that. Check it out, healthmasters.com. Email us or call us if you need anything. 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.